hear from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Paul's writing to a church that needs encouragement. And so he is, you know, they're in a culture that surrounded them that's not taking into this whole Christian ministry that they're presenting, this theology that they're sharing. And so they're trying to reach out, and sometimes they get discouraged, and sometimes they feel they're not making much of a difference. And so he writes to them to encourage them in their mission. So let's listen as we hear from Paul's words to that church in Ephesus. Hold on, we gotta get you more mic. Right? Do you have a mic back there?
No.
I thought, all right, you're gonna bring the mic. Because the sun's got bright, hard to see now.
Praise the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that heaven has had to offer. Before the creation of the world, he chose us through Jesus Christ to be holy and perfect in our promises, your presence. Because of his love, he had already decided to adopt us through Jesus Christ. He freely chose to do this so that the kindness he had given us in his dear Son would be praised and given glory. Through the blood of his Son, we are set free from our sins. God's forgiveness of our failures be because of his overflowing kindness. He poured out his kindness by giving us every kind of wisdom and insight when he revealed the mystery of his plan to us. He had decided to do this through his Christ. He planned to bring all the history to his goal in Christ. Thank Christ for being the head of everything in heaven and earth. God also decided ahead of time to choose Christ according to his plan, which makes everything work the way he intends. He planned all this so that who already focused on our hope on Christ would praise him and give him glory. You heard him and the message of truth, the good news that he saved you, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit whom he promised. This Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we will receive inheritance. We have this guarantee until we are said to belong to him. God receives his praise and glory for this.
And what you're, so you don't spend a whole lot of time trying to see that and wonder, what is that up there? What there is a guy crossing between two mountains, I guess, on a tightrope, and he's walking across that. Something all of us aspire to do, I'm sure. Hand me my book there. Now, when you and I were born as babies, and you can imagine if you've had your own babies, there's that infinite possibilities that you see in that child, that the parent sees. It's like, this kid can be anything. This child can grow up and be anything he wants, to do anything he or she wants. We have this idea that they can just do anything. And think about the first couple years of life, all these things that we have children learn to do. I mean, the biggest, most challenging things in life seem to be those first couple of years, where a child has to learn how to talk. I mean, first they're learning to understand our language, and then they learn to speak our language. No matter where you are in the world, you know, it's an amazing thing that kids learn to speak. And then they learn to talk or to walk. They can get up and move around. We see them crawl and stand up and begin to walk around. I mean, these are tremendous feats, to be able to stand on just 2 feet and balance yourself. We expect that. But as time goes on, we're looking more and more for things. We believe in their potential. We give them crayons, and they start to color, and soon they stay in the lines, and soon they use different crayons, and then we give them other things to build, Legos and blocks. I mean, there's just, a child has the ability to do anything. We look forward to watching them expand and grow. And when they start walking or they start doing something and it goes wrong, they fall down or they knock down the tower they're building, we say, you can do it, come on, get back up or keep building again. We don't give up on kids. We want to see them achieve things. But then something happens. Something happens, we start to assess them, we start to analyze, we start to test and quiz them, we start to label them, and we begin to put limits on them, and we say, wait, you can't do that, no, nobody can do that, you're not good enough to do that, and we start to box them in and put all these limits on children as they get older, and soon we grow up to be adults who feel like we can't do much. We hold back, we have limits to everything we can do. We can't fly. My mom told me that once. I was up in a tree with a couple friends, and she said, get down, you're not Superman, you cannot fly. And so I said, okay, and I came down. But it didn't stop me from dreaming, because I remember my brother and I with umbrellas on our roof, and we were sure we were going to be able to fly like Mary Poppins or something. But we kept on dreaming. We kept on having what I want to call, that I got this term from Willow Creek, BAGs, big, hairy, audacious goals, B-H-A-G. Big, hairy, audacious goals for us to accomplish, to do something with our lives, to make something important happen. And we dream these things. It's funny how, while the world is saying, you gotta limit yourself, you can't do this, you gotta stop, we have Jesus doing the exact opposite with his disciples, telling those who want to follow him, that he said, as he says to his disciples in the Gospel of John, if you have faith in me, because he's getting ready to leave, to go away, he says, if you have faith in me, you will do the things that I do. And then he goes and takes that limit off. And he says, not only what I do, but even greater things that I have done, than I've done. Can you imagine somebody telling you that? You know, you'll do what I've done, but you'll do even greater things. Now, yes, it's impossible to do some things, as Jesus would even say, without God. A lot of big, hairy, audacious goals that God gives us, the bags that God gives us, by ourselves can't be done. Only with God can they be done. Only with God being part of it can we see the power that God has in our lives. That's why God gives us goals that are impossible to reach. He says, yeah, this is impossible. You won't be able to do it unless you do it with me and you allow me to help you. And then that way you'll see that I'm in control of this, that I'm taking the control of the situation. Bruce Lee, actually, first one to say about these limits, Arthur Schopenhauer was a philosopher, a German philosopher in the early 1800s. And he wrote a book in which he said in the book, every person takes the limits for their own field of vision for the limits of the world. You know, let's recognize that that's true. What we can't do, then nobody else can do it either. You know, there are some things that seem just totally physically impossible to do. And yet, people do them and astound us. Like that parquet stuff. I think that's what it's called.
Parkour.
Isn't, you know, I watch them and I think, that's just impossible. And yet they do it. As if gravity doesn't really affect them. And they jump and fly and spin and just, you know, just amaze me. If I were to do a forward roll right now and come back up on my feet, you'd probably be amazed. But I can do it, actually. But I'm not going to, because I've got this thing clipped on. I'm not going to let you dare me. I broke a hand doing that. But I did check. I jumped up and did a forward roll up onto the stage yesterday just to see if I could still do that. But I'm not going to do it today because yesterday I was wearing jeans and a t-shirt. Today I'm all dressed up. But these are things I learned to do as doing martial arts when I started. And when I first started martial arts, I was 37, so I wasn't just this kid. And I looked at what they were doing, picking people up and throwing them down, and I thought, I could never do that, I'm too old for that. These were teenagers and people in their 20s, and they would pick the guy up and flip him down, and I wasn't worried about being the guy to pick people up and throw them down. I didn't want to be the guy that got thrown down. But they taught us how to fall, they taught us how to land, And so eventually it became something that was easy to do. And I know I don't look like the kind of body type you would expect, but it happens and I can do it. But it's because I believed in him and I trusted in the people who were teaching me that it could be done. God wants us to believe in him and trust in him, that we can do things. And I'm not talking just physical acts, but I'm talking about spiritual things, that we can accomplish great things through Christ, even greater things than he's done. And if you think about it, look what the disciples accomplished. We think of Jesus healing the blind and raising the dead. Peter did that, Paul did that once. But not only that, Jesus only traveled about 50 miles from his home. He never went further than that. The disciples went out into the whole known world at that time. And they took the message to places that no one had thought about going, because they trusted in God's guidance, that it wasn't just meant to stay here in Jerusalem or just in a small part of Israel in Judea. It was meant for the whole world. So they went out to Samaria, and then they went out to Greece, and they went to Rome. And eventually, disciples of disciples of disciples went into England and traveled across the ocean to North America and South America, and so that the word of God is known pretty much everywhere around the world. Healing takes place today with what we call modern medicine, but it's part of the gift that God has given to us to do great miracles, things that we thought could never be done before. My grandfather, that I never met, died before I was born, died in his 50s from an enlarged heart. Today, they could have done, it might have been a valve problem, something that could easily be fixed, and he'd be still, well, he wouldn't still be living now, because he'd be 120 years old or something. But, no, it isn't impossible. But the thing is, these are things that, you know, today we can, you know, people died of pneumonia many years ago. Today, pneumonia for most of us, if you're fairly healthy, pneumonia is something you just take some medicine for and it goes away like a cold. You know, we have potential of curing so many other things. Bruce Lee, the martial artist, said that if you always put limits on everything you do, physical or anything else, it will spread into your work and into your life. There are no limits. There's only plateaus. And you're not meant to stop at a plateau. You need to move on. Where are you at right now in your journey? Do you feel like you're on a climb, or do you feel like maybe you're at a plateau, like things have been settled for a while? Maybe you think the plateau is the end. I have reached it, there's nowhere else to go. Well, let me assure you that there is. And I know that because you're all still breathing. Except for that. No. Now you're all still breathing. You're all still here. You still have breath in you, life in you, and so God still has a plan for you. He doesn't turn it off when you reach a certain spot. As long as you're here, God has something great. He has a bag for you to do. He has something extraordinary for you to do. I'll tell you a quick story about T.F. Hodge. I don't know if you've heard of him. Maybe some of the educators have. I'm not sure. But he was born in 1969 on the west side of Los Angeles, a very difficult area. Grew up with a lot of struggles. He had a real difficult time reading and writing. And he had a bag, though. Big, hairy, audacious goal. And that was to be a professional sports player. He loved baseball and football and basketball. And his goal was to make it in sports, because for a lot of young African American boys, you know, that was their ticket out of the hood. It was their ticket to a life. So he stayed in school, even though he did poorly in his grades. He stayed in school because he wanted to play sports, and he thought that was his ticket out. By his senior year, his coach said to him, his football coach and his English teacher said to him, "Son, you can do so much better than you're doing. We've seen what you can do. Apply yourself." And so his senior year, he worked hard on his grades, and he got 11 A's in his senior year. And so he realized, hey, maybe I can do this academic stuff. So he applied to college, to the Southern Cal, and he got in at the last minute. He went there for 2 years and then decided that he needed to do something with his life, and he joined the Marines. And he went out and he spent time serving in the Marines in the 70s. He was in the Marines, 80s, whenever it was. And then he came back, but even though he had been to the Marines and he had the training, he ended up taking this really ordinary, nothing job that was not doing a lot for his soul. But he still felt the call to do something greater. He still had that big, hairy, audacious goal in front of him. But he was past the time of being able to play sports, but he thought, maybe I can teach. And so he applied for a job with a high school, and they hired him to teach basketball, baseball, and football. He was a coach, he was a teacher, he taught them techniques, and he was really enjoying himself, and he felt he was finally accomplishing one of his goals, a little differently than he had hoped, but he was in the sports field. And he was also working as a caseworker in a group home. And so his life was being fulfilled, and he was invited by his middle school alma mater to come back and on a career day and talk to kids about what he was doing and how that might be an option for them. While he was there, one of his old English teachers from that time saw him and said, "You need to apply for a job in the school district. You should get into our school district." So he did, and he got a job there. And eventually, when he left that position, he was the assistant to the head, the CEO, I'll look. Like it matters, but I'll look anyway. I don't want to get it wrong. He was the senior assistant to the offices of the budget director, the deputy chief, and chief financial officers of the second largest school district in the United States, Los Angeles. But in 2007, he finally decided to go for his bath, his real passion, his real dream. It wasn't sports. It was writing. I remember he struggled with writing and reading as a kid. It was something that he didn't come so naturally to him, but he had a dream to do it. And he wrote his first book, and in 2009, his first book came out and was published, called From Within, I Rise. And he talks in that book about his life, about how God was important to all of that, and his faith in God helped him to rise above some of the challenges, to go from those plateaus that Bruce Lee talks about, and to keep moving on. And his book was published, it sold well, and he's written a couple more books since then, and he's making a difference through his dream. How many of you have a dream? A God-given dream that's bigger than you could imagine? You do? Good. One person in the room raised their hand and said they had a dream. What's your dream? To be able to be a great swimmer? Then do it. Keep dreaming. You guys have dreams? What? Tell me. I can't hear you. What? They ducked down. And look who has the courage to raise their hands. What's your dreams? Say what? To become a vet. A veterinarian. Excellent. A USAA soccer player? All right. You can do it. You got a dream? A professional baseball player. You can do it. There's no reason you can't do it. How come only the kids are dreaming here? Where are the adults? Have you given up on your dreams? The kids want to know what you dream. What? Tell me. Go ahead. To be in the NFL. All right. Go for it. Bulk up. What else? What's your dream? A what therapist? Play therapist? Oh, I like that. That's a good one. To join the Rockettes? Okay, that's high kicks you got. Can you do those? Okay. Well, keep on practicing. They don't want you yet. Look at some, the kids are dreaming. Look at the dreamers of the Bible who did something. What's your dream? To be in the Olympics. Go for it. Do it. What's your dream? Okay, yeah, okay. It takes courage to share your dreams. Hey, what's your dream?
To retire by the ocean.
That's a good dream, too.
Yes, it is.
All right. You know, we all have some kind of dream. You know, some are looking to get into life, and some are looking to get kind of on the outskirts of life for a little bit. But those are dreams that are important to us, and God says they're possible. If we put our faith in God and say, "Lord, help me to be a, to fulfill," because God has a dream too. and he wants us to help him fulfill it. His dream for all of us is that whatever we do, we will help use that as a platform to reach other people, to make a difference in people's lives, like I talked about with the kid, to leave our fingerprints, our love prints, our joy prints, our God prints in the world so that people know God is still here. He's making a difference. It doesn't matter how young or old we are. T.F. Hodge says in that first book he wrote, he realized, you know, the sky was not the limit, he realized. He said, I'm the limit. The only person limiting me is myself. Because God says I can do anything. And I have to trust him in that. Did you know that right now, this month, 1 million Beethovens have been born around the world. 1 million Picassos have been born around the world. 1 million Florence Nightingales have been born. 1 million Einsteins have been born. Did you know that on the date you were born, God brought into the world that a child of God was born? That was you. A child with possibilities and potential to do great things in this world, to make this world a better place. Our sexton, Dan, just passed away a week ago. And yesterday we had a service for him. He had stood in my office a couple weeks back when he got the diagnosis of his cancer and how bad it was, and said, you know, it's at times like this you realize, what difference have I made? Have I made an impact? Have I made a difference in the world? And I was sure he had, but I didn't know Dan well enough. Yesterday at his service, there were young kids there that were young, I say kids today, geez, these people are in their 20s and 30s, but some of these were children, these were 15-year-old kids at one time that he took under his wing, literally his plane wing, and taught them to fly. He founded this group in Quakertown called the Civil Air Patrol. And he and another guy, Colonel Creeley and him, Captain Dan, is really his title, Captain Dan, taught these 15 and 16-year-old kids how to fly planes. And some of them were there yesterday who now fly for airliners. One guy was there, he flies a jet from this area, from Philly down to somewhere down south, I forget what state, every day back and forth, taking people to places they have to go and making a difference by getting them there safely. There were people there from the military, because Dan had served in the Marines, but he also was a big supporter of the Air Force. The place was packed. The funeral home was packed. People were standing everywhere because there weren't enough seats. They were in all the rooms. They were outside for a little while till they could get in. And it was just incredible. Here was the guy that's been modestly, humbly cleaning our bathrooms, vacuuming our rugs, picking up needles from the Christmas tree after we took that tree out, doing all this work that we had no idea the amount of people he touched, the fingerprints he left in this world. You're doing the same thing. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on it, because God isn't giving up on you. Amen?
Amen.